Look, look, there comes one of them now.
Hello, this is Kevin Patterson, the writer, director, and producer of Detective Samuel Sift's Loved One Discovery or Recovery Services. This is a long overdue update on our second season. We are currently in production of our second season. We're doing a lot of table reads and we're starting to do some recording. And we're hoping to release in April-ish of 2020. Adrian Parrish, the sound engineer and sound designer of the first season, and I interviewed each other. We thought our listeners might enjoy insights into what we did our first season and how we went about it. So we sat down and interviewed each other, which was a lot of fun because we're good buddies. And we're going to release three special episodes of those interviews. In the first one, I'm going to talk a lot about the writing process. So enjoy.
Let's talk a little bit about the writing process. So what is, I know everybody's got like a different writing process. What is your writing process look like as a whole?
Well, I've been to a lot of like panel discussions at various cons. I love cons. And one of the things that I hear that a lot of people debate or split amongst writers is, do you just write until you run out of ideas or do you do an outline first? And I feel like for the detective world, you really have to have an outline. I know there's people that don't, but you got to know where the story's going because detective stories are all about the plot and right. The plot moving forward. So I do an extremely rough outline. If I don't know what's happening in a part or whatever, that's fine with me. And then I just start banging out a script and I just write. And the nice thing about an outline is if you're stuck on a scene, look at the next scene. Are you ready to write that one? If not, look at the next scene. You don't have to write chronologically.
Right.
Did I say that word correct?
You said.
Yeah. Okay, very good. I'm so proud of myself. And that's the nice thing about an outline. So a loose outline, bang on a script, no judgment when I'm getting it out. But I do a lot of, I don't know if technically they're a rewrite. Probably there's at least one true rewrite, two rewrites. But I do a lot of very heavily editing.
Yeah.
Where I'm looking at lines and taking a lot of notes. And I usually average about 6 or 7 edits. I mean, minimum. The wonderful thing about Charlotte, North Carolina, is there is several opportunities to have a script read and to get very actionable feedback. So it's a lot of, it's writing and then various rounds of editing.
Yeah. I do find the whole writing outline versus no discussion is always really interesting to me. I'm usually a no outline person. Which is like, I like to credit it to the Stephen King book.
I'm assuming that's the on writing
book. Yeah, the book on writing. So he talks a lot because that's his approach. His approach is you create a character and you see what they do, which, you know, like, I don't know. I think it's a great, I really like that idea. I'm also kind of lazy about writing outlines, and that's honestly part of it. But I do find it really interesting to, especially that totally makes sense though. Like in detective noir, obviously, you know, you have someplace you have to be going. Like this isn't just a rambling, like this character is just doing something. You have a specific place you're getting to. So yeah, it totally makes sense that you have to be a little more true to the outline. Also, I find like the writing, not writing chronologically, I find that really interesting because that's not something that I do really easily. Like I have trouble kind of jumping to different parts of the script.
Well, there's a huge advantage to it.
Yeah.
So if you've written, let's say your first opening 3 scenes and then whatever reason you jump to scene 8 or 9, well, because you've written that, it's going to be easier to plant seeds in scene 3, 4, 5 because you know what you need to plant seeds for. So yeah, I totally enjoy writing out a sequence. I feel like it totally helps with the writer's block. I mean,
yeah.
I hear so many people talk about writer's block at cons. Again, that's always one of the questions. What about writer's block? I never ever get it. We also, our audience may not know this, but Adrian and I, we write, but we also write sketch comedy for a live show here in Charlotte. We write short films. I guess pretty much everything we do is dialogue. I know you do poetry, which I don't tend to do.
Right.
And then you've take more passes at straight fiction, but we write different things.
Yeah. And I think like, yeah, the whole writing block thing, I'm kind of in the same boat as you, but I haven't always been. I don't know if you've always, have you struggled with writing block previously or kind of not really?
Well, in the past. And what I was going to say is because we write different things. Right. If I just get stuck on something, just have a list of what's the next.
Right.
Be writing eight things at once.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've listened to a lot of writers who do that. And that's definitely one point that I've had to come to over the years. Like a big thing is you're a writer. As a writer, your job is to write. Like you're not like, so like I, for several years, I was kind of like, I had kind of the waiting on the muse. Like,
like you ain't paid to think, buddy. Right. You're paid by the word.
Right. Right. So you're just kind of like, oh, once this inspiration hits me, then I'll write. And like, no, like if you sit down to write, you're going to write something. And like, and if you like, just like you said, like you just bang it out and be like, you know what? There's times when you write something, you're like, I'm just going to have to go back and fix it later. Maybe completely rewrite it later. But like, I've got something down.
I enjoy editing a lot. Do you enjoy editing?
I do enjoy editing. I get to the point where my problem, I think mostly is I get to the point where I'm like, I'm not sure what to, like, I know this could be better.
Right.
I'm not
completely sure. You gotta step away sort of thing.
Yeah.
Well, again, outside opinion. That's right.
And what is that mostly like, what is your editing process look like when you come back to it? Do you find like specific things you find editing? Like, are you editing like plot, or you're adding like something to make the plot more clear or like dialogue more clear? Or
well, I'm definitely looking for plot holes.
Yeah.
I definitely put too many garbage words in there. So just line through those.
Yeah.
Cause it's noir and it's supposed to be snappy.
Right.
At least three of the edits are just the only thing I'm editing is while I read it, any line that's dull or boring or plain, I highlight.
Yeah.
Noir's really got to be witty,
right,
and snappy,
right?
So one of the, at least three or four of the edits is just reading the script with a highlighter, and I'm highlighting the sentences or the ideas that are just dull,
right,
boring, right? And then I really take time to enjoy it, Google thesaurus.com or Urban Thesaurus, the word, and just take time to think about that word. I'll write down like four or five versions of that word, other words that work with it, and really enjoy that.
Yeah.
So there is definitely a script. It's more fixing problems in the script than fixing plot holes than adding points. Cause again, I've got kind of an outline.
Right.
Every now and then you have to do a transition scene.
Right.
Which I've heard a couple writers talk about the challenges of writing transition scenes. But for me, they've always been so easy because we have voiceover. That's the great thing about detective stories. You got the mechanism of the voiceover.
Right.
I
was just going to say, I remember you talking about like your editing. And like I remember you giving me an early copy of it and being like, hey, go through this script. Tell me, like, if I have, you know, five or six lines that like something doesn't stand out to you, or like I didn't like crack wise or something like that, you know, let me know and let me know. So like I remember you like giving me that task specifically for feedback to be like, hey, where can I punch this up?
Well, that's the nice thing about reading in public. If you ever get a chance to have your script read at a workshop or whatever, do that.
Right.
And what I would try to do is watch people's faces as they grow bored.
Right.
And then I would
during the reading, you know, had a little mark that would let me know that's the audience is bored.
Right.
Why? Right.
One of my favorite moments of the opposite of that was when we did your reading. I don't know. Is this supposed to be spoiler free? Or is
You could do spoilers. Okay. The only reason people got here is because they listened to the four. Okay.
So the big twist in
episode... There's a spoiler warning. Spoiler warning.
So if you haven't listened to the podcast, please go back and listen to the podcast.
Especially episode four.
Yeah, the pick back up with us.
We could use the stats.
In episode four, when you the big reveal is that they've been snorting zombie brains this whole time. And I remember we read this out loud to a table. We did a table read and just seeing people's face because like they were not expecting that. And it just kind of came at them because they didn't know what was going on. And then it was like, and like they just like seeing people's face and people just like laughing and like shaking their heads, which is always fun too, right? Because especially like you and I, we talk through like all the ideas that we have. And like at some point you get desensitized to your own idea, right?
Right.
And so like you're like, oh no, this is just the way the story goes. But when someone like reads it, they're like, okay, that's fucking weird. And you're just like, or that's really funny, or that's really great. What you're just like, okay, good. Like this, that's right. That's when I had this idea. That's how I felt about it. And like it's good. It's like a good reminder that people like really enjoy that.
That was a very happy moment for me.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of people in that room. And right. the people in that room were anywhere from 20 to 65 years old, multiple versions of America. And I didn't know how that was going to play off when we did the reveal. And it's like a one sentence. It's written to be a throw, like it's presented as a throwaway, right. Even though it's like a really right. important line.
Right.
And I didn't know if it was going to play. And I watched I don't think I'm bragging when I say this room of 20 people, every single person had a dramatic facial reaction.
Yeah.
And it was like an immediate disgust, horror, and then just like laugh. Right. I was like, yes.
Right. Yeah. Everybody's reaction was perfect. Like I remember thinking like, you could not have asked for a better reaction from that. Anything else we need to say?
We want to build an audience, so when we release our second season, we've got a little bit of a start. So if you could like, subscribe, share, whatever, you know the drill.
Right.
That would be super helpful. We've realized that the podcast world is a lot about how often you drop,
right.
And the audio drama is different than that.
Right.
So it's been a little challenging to get us out in the universe.
Yeah.
All the feedback I've ever received, 83% of the feedback that I've received from anyone who's listened to us, they love us. They don't understand why we're not out there.
Right.
So if you could please share whatever, it would be a tremendous help.
Yeah. And that is like one thing that's a little tricky with audio drama podcasts is because, you know, like you said, like the traditional podcast model is, you know, a podcast a week or once a month for sure.
But when we're engineering all the things we discussed before,
right,
it takes a while. So please forgive us for the large intermission, but know that anything you do to share us and help us get out in the universe is deeply appreciated.
Right.
I hope you found that interesting. I'm curious if any of our listeners are writers themselves, how they approach it differently. Feel free to send us an email or a tweet or a reply on any of the various social medias that are out there. As I said, we're working on our second season. If you would like to help us out, then please follow us on Twitter. We are Stationary Hobo. And on Instagram, we are Stationary Hobo.